today as we come to the table.
When I look around, when I'm up here teaching, something, you were looking at me, weren't you? Well, I mean, I can barely focus on this, okay? So bear with me on this. I'm focused here. I look around, I make eye contact, but I'm not thinking about anybody when I do that. So I don't know why I said that. Maybe somebody's thinking that. But either way, he's talking to me. This isn't right. But guys, listen. Are you being active? Are you serving? It doesn't have to be at Calvary Knoxville. You need to serve in your church, but you need to serve in other ways. That's what the language here implies. It's being active about the Lord. Be sober. Be awake. Be, you know, when you're awake, you want to be doing something. It's when you're laying down and sleeping, you're doing nothing.
We need to wake up as followers of Jesus. For many, they're in a kind of in-between state, like sleepwalking, where they have some awareness of what's going on and are going through some of the motions, but they aren't alert or working diligently. Scripture tells us we should be watching and praying. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark will snap us out of the spiritual daze so many are stuck in. So don't let yourself get caught in that state. If you've trusted in Jesus, it's not that he won't let you in, but you'll have missed the opportunity to share his grace and love and the eternal rewards that come for those who are prepared. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 as he continues his message, The Day of the Lord.
When the Antichrist stands up and declares that he's God, at the 3.5-year point of that final 7 years, there in the temple in Jerusalem, when he does that, the Bible says they'll flee down to Petra and God's going to supernaturally protect them. Now, if you happen to be a tourist in that day, don't leave. It's like, the world's coming under this amazing day, whatever, we better go. No, I think I'll stay right here. Do you guys pack any extra lunch? Because God's going to provide, whether it be manna from heaven again or whatever, God's going to provide. And those that are there are going to be supernaturally protected during that time. And so the bottom line is you won't be able to get away. No one will be able to get away, the entire earth. And that is why, again, this is something we do not want to be here for. We want to be gone. We want to be out of here. You know, once again, it comes back to the whole thing where Paul's going to tell them again, tell them today, comfort one another knowing that I'm going to take you out. Have that comfort and that hope. He'll get to that in a moment. But you can't have comfort and hope if you think you're going through that. There is no comfort and hope for that. Notice what he says, and remember, that's the whole basis here, is to give them comfort and hope. So the world's going to have this mess. They're not going to be able to escape, but you, and I have that underlined double here, verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others sleep, but watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Now, there's several things to look at here. Paul says, since we are not children of darkness or blindness, but are children of light, let us walk that way. Walk like a child of light. Let me ask you this morning, how are you walking? Are you walking like a child of darkness or are you walking like a child of light? Now, if you're a believer, you can walk like a child of darkness and still be in the kingdom. God's going to chastise you and bring you out of that. But if you're only walking in darkness, that is no spiritual connection. You know you're living in sin and that's all you do and that's all you've done your whole life and that's your lifestyle. You don't know Christ. You're walking in darkness. You're blind to all this. As a matter of fact, you're probably hearing me say this today going, this guy's a nutcase. Where'd they find him? Well, first of all, on a personal level, you're right. But on a scriptural level, on a scriptural level, you're wrong. This is not my word. This is the word of God. God's saying this to you this morning. Are you walking in darkness or are you walking in light? And those walking in darkness are not only going to miss the rapture and go through the great tribulation if they're still alive, they're not even going to know it's coming. They're not even going to recognize it. How in the world could people not see what's going on in the world and not recognize it? Just years ago, you know, so many people in the nation used to know the Bible. The generation before us, they knew the Bible. Even unbelievers knew the Bible to some degree. People today don't know their Bibles. And I don't say this in any detrimental way. I just say this as a factual statement. We've had one or two people, I think two now that have actually, that I know of, that came to this church and they'd never heard of Abraham. I think, how can you live in America and never have heard, he's the one that did, you know, Father, he's the one. How could you not have heard of him? He has a dance and everything. What's wrong with you? But they haven't heard. They don't know. Why? The Bible's not being taught. And guys, listen, even in many churches, the Bible's not being taught. There are nice discussions, political rallies, social issues, and sometimes those have to be mentioned, like what I mentioned at the beginning. There are times you mention things, because when you're driving down the Bible highway, if there's a worldly issue or a social issue or a political issue as I'm driving down the Bible highway, listen, I've got to get out. I've got to stop the bus with you guys. I've got to get up, walk around in front and deal with it. I can't just say, it's a big tree, let's go. I can't drive it like I did as a kid, all my little things I used to own, right? You're wrecking everything I had. You can't do that. You've got to say, no, we got to deal with it. So there are some things that we deal with. But the bottom line is the Word of God is what has to be taught. You've got to be teaching the Bible. And there are churches that aren't teaching the Bible. And so again, because of that, we don't know the Bible. And so they don't even understand what's coming. They're walking in darkness. They can't see the light. And so, again, it's interesting, not only walking, watching and sober, he says, be watching and sober, but not just watching and sober in just a general statement. He's obviously not talking about a literal soberness, a literal drunkenness, like we're, as opposed to getting drunk, but he means be walking spiritually sober. Be watching for the Lord. Be looking for God's return. Be aware that he's about to come back. It comes with the idea of also being active for the Lord and not just laying around and doing nothing, but being active. Serving the Lord. Listen, are you serving the Lord? Now, I'm not talking about works or something. You know, there's different ways you can serve the Lord. It doesn't have to be at Calvary Chapel. So this is not, oh, I'm not serving the church, and he knows it, and he's looking at me. I'm not looking at you, I promise. By the way, when I look around, when I'm up here teaching, sometimes you were looking at me, weren't you? Well, I mean, I can barely focus on this, okay? So bear with me on this. I'm focused here. I look around, I make eye contact, but I'm not thinking about anybody when I do that. So I don't know why I said that. Maybe somebody's thinking that. But either way, he's talking to me. This isn't right. But guys, listen. Are you being active? Are you serving? It doesn't have to be at Calvary Knoxville. You need to serve in your church, but you need to serve in other ways. That's what the language here implies. It's being active about the Lord. Be sober. Be awake. Be, you know, when you're awake, you want to be doing something. It's when you're laying down and sleeping, you're doing nothing. He's saying the church should be doing this, and much more as we see the day approach. We expect the world to be asleep because they've never been awakened for the first time. But we, as believers, we know that we shouldn't be asleep. And the very fact that Paul is saying believers don't be asleep, and Paul is encouraging believers to wake up, what does that mean? That believers can go to sleep. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not saying lose your salvation. I'm talking about you're not walking with God. You've gone asleep spiritually. You've let yourself get lazy. You're not serving. You're not seeking God. You're kind of just living your life and letting things go by. You know, it's the kind of the retirement thing. Listen, retirement is great. And for those of you that get to retire and have that retirement, there's some great benefits. I have nothing against retirement. I mean, sometimes people are even forced into retirement because they can't do what they're doing anymore. I understand that. But a believer, even when you reach retirement, you should be serving the Lord. We don't retire as Christians. People say to me, okay, Pastor, what are you going to do when you retire? Die! I'm going to die when I retire. Now, I'm not going to torture you and be up here. We've talked about that. If I can't carry on my duties. But even if I get to the point where physically I can't do this anymore, or mentally I can't do this anymore, or whatever comes upon me in this body, if that ever happens, for love of you, I would step aside, but I'm still going to serve the Lord. Where can I serve? How can I serve? What can I do? And I'm going to be looking for ways. Guys, we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be active more than ever. The day is upon us. Watch what's happening. Look at the news. Read your Bible. God told us about all of it. And so I'm afraid that many Christians today are, I guess, what I would call sleepwalking. That is, they walk with the Lord kind of, but they're really asleep. It's like this, you know, spiritual sleepwalking. You ever seen somebody sleepwalk? You ever seen, they come in the room and go, hey, listen, your couch just ate my car. What? Your couch just ate my car. And they mumble, they go, what? They just say things that are bizarre. They're like delirious or something. You're like, you need to kind of help them come back this way, follow me. Here's your bed, lay down, right? And some of you that have had sleepwalkers in your family, you know what I'm talking about. This is the picture he's giving. It's like believers just living a life, not even knowing what's going on. It's like so much of the church. Listen, did you know that much of the church, the majority of the church, if statistics are right, they do not know prophecy. They don't know these are the signs of the last days. They don't know these are the signs of the times. They don't know we're supposed to be watching for this, which means they're living in this sleepwalking state of delirium. And they're just kind of blending in with the world, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing what to expect, not knowing whether you should take a stand or not take a stand, not knowing what God says is right or wrong. Guys, we have to know the word, and we need to know prophecy. It's so important. And it's interesting, again, the word sleep here means to fall asleep. So it kind of reinforces that whole idea of not only sleeping, but falling asleep, showing Christians can fall asleep. So we need to wake up. And maybe God is saying to somebody in here, wake up. It's time to wake up. You've been sleeping long enough. Get rid of the stuff that's sidelining you. Get back in the word. Get back in prayer. Start serving. Look for ways to reach out. Be creative. And get going, because you're going to be glad you did it when the Lord comes back. And the way that we fall asleep, one way is thinking, well, you know what? I've been hearing that the Lord's coming back forever and he's never going to come back. Look, I don't know that he's going to come back in our generation. And I don't want to start picking dates so that he doesn't come back. He gives a bad name to the church and the Lord didn't this and the Lord didn't that. But the bottom line is he's coming back. And he said to be watching, and he said there's going to be a reward for those who are watching. Paul says here, be watching and be sober, not blinded by the culture. And I want to give you a couple of verses about how we're to be actively watching. You know, somebody asked me after the last service, how do you actively watch? How can I actively watch? Here's how you do it. It's living your life. Yes, you've got to live your life. You've got to work your job and be with your family and be among people and live life. I get that. But you realize at any moment the Lord could come back. It's an awareness. Watching is an awareness of our situation, an awareness of what's going on in the world, an awareness of what's happening in our country, in our county, around the world. What's going on? How's the enemy working? What's he doing? When is the Lord returning? What did he say to watch for? And listen to what it says here in Luke chapter 21, verse 34 and 36. Jesus talking, he said, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare of all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore. Note this, watch and pray always. So watching and praying that you may be counted worthy to escape. If there wasn't a way to escape, he wouldn't have said it. That's why the rapture is so important, that you might be worthy to escape all these things which will come to pass and then stand before the Son of Man. Look at this next one. I love this verse and the promise he brings. Luke 12, 37 says this, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Again, not staring up at the sky, although I did that sometimes as a new believer, just wondering, but being aware at any moment, hey, he could come right now during the service. Some of you are saying, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come. Anyway, just because you're tired of me, but for him, come, Lord Jesus. Watching. Notice this. I love this last promise. Get this. I'm not sure what this all means. I know what it means literally here, and we'll talk about it, but assuredly I say to you that the one watching, there's going to be Christians not watching, and there's going to be Christians watching. He gives two categories here. He said, for those that are watching, because some are going to be sleeping. He said, for those that are watching, here's what he's going to do. The Son of Man will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. There is some special blessing for those of you in this room that are going to be watching. When we go to the wedding supper of the Lamb, I don't know if there's going to be like a those watching section or not. But at some point, the Lord's going to get up and he's going to walk over to you and say, you were watching. I commanded you to be watching and you were. You were aware. You had your eyes open. I'm going to serve you. Can you imagine how that's going to feel if you're the one watching? First of all, just having your mind blown that the Lord would serve you. But secondly, knowing that you were watching and he really did come and you really got the reward. Again, I don't think it's going to be a one-upmanship in heaven, you know, those who are watching, those who weren't, you know. There's not going to be any of that in heaven. It's going to be pure love and joy and rejoicing. But I do believe there's going to be a special reward because of what the Lord said here for those that are watching. And then again, he says, notice this, the next thing he says, we're to be watching and to make sure that we're sober. In order to be watching, you have to be sober. Again, he's not speaking about literal alcohol, although that could be an application here, but being intoxicated with the world and not being blinded or disoriented by it. You know, those of you that come from a drinking background, I hope that not many of you do, but those of you that do come from a drinking background, you're disoriented, aren't you? You don't know what's going on around you. People can take advantage of you. People can deceive you. You can get in big trouble. You do things you would never normally do. That's what the wording here means. He's saying, don't be that way as a Christian. Be very sober. Be very awake. Be the one who knows what's going on. Be the one who's watching. Be sober unto the Lord. And look at verse 8, he says, again, but let those who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And notice this, very interesting here. Paul now uses this whole armor of the Roman soldier to make his point like he did in Ephesians. But this time he mixes it up a little bit. If you go back and read Ephesians, you'll find out this is not the same way that it was talked about. These are not the same protections that were protected by these pieces of armor. And I don't think that was Paul's main emphasis anyway. I don't think that any of these pieces of armor are limited to protect us in a certain area as much as Paul was using an analogy of spiritual armor in different applications for different things that we need. And notice here, Paul says the breastplate of faith and love, meaning our faith and our love are to be protected like armor. They're to be guarded. Why? Because in the last days, it says that faith will wane and love will grow cold. Listen, already just from this COVID-19 thing, a third of the church that was coming to church that is now watching from home. Again, there's a group that's watching from home. There's nothing wrong in that. This is a time where, again, people with special conditions. I'm not downing that. You need to protect yourself. This is my point in this. But of those watching from home, the new studies that Barna's doing by calling and these guys that do these things to ask these questions, he said one third of those who used to be regular in church, but now they're having to watch from home, one third have quit watching from home. The Bible says in the last days, there'll be a falling away. Don't let that be you. Don't you be the one falling away. The Bible's predicted it. Hold tight. Don't be that. I want to fulfill scripture, but not that one. Right? Hey, I'll fulfill scripture. Really? How'd you do it? Fell away. No, I don't want that bragging in heaven. That's not a bragging point. You want to be the one that was faithful. And we need to guard that faith and guard that love because love's going to grow cold as well. The Bible says, keep your heart soft. You know, it's easy in today's environment to let your heart grow hard, isn't it? You get upset. You get mad about injustices that you see. You watch what's happening to our country and around the world. It makes you mad. Guard your heart. Guard your heart, guys. Keep it protected. Don't let anything steal that from you. Again, keep that breastplate on that protects from the incoming toward the heart. Keep it soft because in the last days, it says that many hearts will grow cold. And notice he says also the helmet of hope and salvation. This is also huge. Why? Because Satan can make you doubt your salvation. How many believers say a prayer and they doubt their salvation? Maybe some of you this morning are doubting your salvation. God wants you to say, no, you're in me. Have you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth? Yes. Then the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Period. End of sentence. Put that helmet on. Strap it down. Don't let it come off. Because you got to remember that. Satan's going to throw everything he can at you to make you think you're not getting in or you haven't done this. Now, if you haven't received Christ, you need to make sure, and you have received him, I'll give you a chance to do that today before we're done. But if you know that you've given your life to him, strap that helmet on. The solid salvation in the Lord is what's going to get you through these tough times. And also, you need the helmet of hope. And again, if you think you're going through the great tribulation, there's no hope. Your helmet of hope is that God's coming to get me out of here. And by the way, before he comes to get me out of here, he's going to watch over me and protect me up to that point. That's your hope. He is faithful. He loves you. And he's not going to let you down. And so again, there are so many who are trying to take away our hope and our love and our faith. And again, even telling people they're going to go through the great tribulation. Don't let them rip you off. Don't lose your joy. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your heart on the Lord. Hold it close to yourself and let God use you in these days. And he goes on now telling why we're not going to have to worry, why we have hope. And we've talked about it before. We talked about it in chapter 4. Here's where we got it. Look at verse 9. Here's why. For God did not appoint us to wrath. It's very clear the believer is not appointed to wrath. And during that time, Paul just said, during the great tribulation, no one will escape. No one but those down in Petra. And that, if that's the truth, this verse couldn't be written. It couldn't be. Because the bottom line is the entire earth's going to come under this wrath. He says, but you're not appointed to it, which means you can't be here. You've got to be gone. You're not going to be on some island and in some bunker. You're going to be with the Lord. And he says that we've been appointed, look, to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. And whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Again, God's promise, we've not been appointed to wrath. I want you to see another verse to drive this home to your heart, because the Lord's speaking to the church, the last day's church, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Listen to what he says. He says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, great tribulation, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Nobody's going to get out of it. Nobody's going to escape the whole world, but you can. If you persevere and you believe in me and you trust in me, I'll yank you out of here before that. If you give me your life, but the rest of the world, they're going to go through all of it. There is no escape. They're all going to face it. Guys, that brings comfort. That's comforting to know. It's not comforting if you don't make the decision for Christ, but it's comforting to know if you do make that decision and if you believe in the Lord. And then Paul reaffirms that here in this last verse. Look what he says. Therefore, because of all that information, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. He says, you're already comforting and encouraging each other. He says, but you know what? I'm going to say it again, just like I said in the last chapter, comfort each other with these words. You need the comfort. Paul knew they were going through persecution. He knew they were going through hard times, and the Lord knows you're going through hard times right now. He knows we're going through hard times in many different ways. So many of us are affected in so many ways by all that's happening in the world. Comfort one another knowing this. Listen, your prince is going to ride in on a white horse. It's not going to be a movie. It's going to be real. He's going to sweep you off your feet and take you into the kingdom. We're going to be there at the wedding supper of the Lamb for 7 years. And those of you that are watching, he's going to be serving you. And then we're all going to come back, as we talked about last week. He's going to establish his throne here on the earth. But during that time, he's going to be pouring out his judgment on mankind. You don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. Have you got reservations for the kingdom? You know, you've not been appointed to wrath if you're a believer, but have you made your appointment for heaven if you're not a believer? Something's happening. I see that it's true, and maybe God's come to you in the past over and over, and you've pushed him away. No, I'm not ready. No, I don't want to do whatever. And now you're realizing, wait a minute, this world isn't even fun anymore. You can't even go out and do the fun things of the world without worrying about getting sick or worrying about this happening or whatever. Even that's been removed. And it's going to get more and more removed the closer we get to the return of the Lord. God is going to make this world dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. He's going to make the kingdom brighter and brighter. Why? Because he wants our eyes looking toward the light. If you've not made that decision, I want to encourage you, listen, what are you waiting on? What's holding you back from giving your life to Christ? What is it? You want more time to come under regulations? You want more time to see what happens to the earth in the next plague? You want more time to see what the next disaster is going to be, or what other rights you're going to lose, or what war is going to break out? What are you waiting on? Because the Bible says the closer we get to the end, it's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. And I don't say that to discourage you. God will give us grace during that time. We have the hope that we're getting out of here. I say that for those who don't know the Lord. You need hope.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Although the Apostle Paul had only been there for a short time, his impact on the church at Thessalonica was influential. This letter expresses his heart for the people there. It was a note of encouragement, and most likely, it came at just the right time. Isn't it nice to receive an encouraging word from someone when you might not expect it? Sometimes it blesses you in ways that person could have not known ahead of time. We hope you enjoyed listening today and that you've been encouraged as well. Thanks for tuning in. We'd like to invite you to come visit us if you're in the Knoxville area. Come join us at Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. Our morning services are 8, 9:30, and 11:15. We also have a Sunday night Bible study that meets at 6 and a midweek service every Wednesday night at 7. Feel free to bring your whole family for a time of worship and Bible study. Every time we gather, it's an opportunity for you to grow in what you're learning and experiencing with God. If you'd like more information, click on the church link at the bottom of the page at thewaymedia.net. Would you like to listen to this message again or hear any additional studies? Just click on the Come to the Table link at thewaymedia.net or connect with the Way Media app. That's all the time we have for today, but Pastor Mark will continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.